All right, we're still working on the Christian family and home. We're still working on the husband. I think there must be like a lot of work to do for him. I'm not sure. Who said there's a lot of work to do on him? Sandy did. Wise men would not disagree with her. You are right, Sandy. You are always right. We have some more of the Ten Commandments of Husbands. If anybody needs any, we have some more. I know some people had called me on the phone and asked for copies of this. I'll put them on the table for anybody else who wants the Ten Commandments of Husbands. And just so we're equal opportunity, worship service, and experience, there are Ten Commandments for women coming. Let's pick up where we left off last week. We clearly said that one of the most important things that a husband should do for his wife is to love her. Love her. And I spent a great deal of time explaining to you what that means. I said, you know, there's a great big difference with loving somebody in a physical kind of way than there is loving somebody in a godly kind of way. To sum up loving your wives as Christ loved the church, I'm going to help you with this. A little kid, youth group age, about 14 years old, walked into a Sunday school class, and he had told the Sunday school teacher that he was in love with Becky. And he said, well, why do you love her? How do you know you love her? You know what he said? Just look at her. How fine she looks. Oh, so you love her because she looks fine. Oh, she looks fine. Well, let me help you spell love. L-U-S-T. That's not love. That's what? That's lust. And the fact of the matter is, there are three kinds of love that Scripture talks about. And I know that if I asked you, for those of you who are married, whether you love your wife as husbands, how many would say, yes, of course you do? Well, of course we would say that. But now the question has to remain, well, what kind of love is it that you have? You see, in the English language, we have one word for love, and it happens to be what? Love. See, I love spaghetti and meatballs. I do. I love sunny days. I love preaching, I love singing, and I love my wife. Oh, so you love them all the same? No, but that's what you said. You see, there are three different kinds of love. Fourth, if you add one, so I'll add one. There's four different kinds of love that you are capable of experiencing. And the first one that you are capable of experiencing, men, is eros. Eros. Eros, like erostica. This is erotic. And that's the physical love and expression that a male has for a female. The physical manifestation of a love a male has for a female. And I want to let you know, teenage boys feel a lot of that. And it don't take much for them to feel it. Physical love. Eros. How much does it take for a man to feel that? How many say on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the highest amount of feeling you ever can have, and 1 being doesn't take much? How many say that's a 1? That's a 1. And so many women say to me, or he'll say to me, well, she knows I love her because I'm always touching her, and I'm always holding on to her. Oh, that's for her, huh? Really? Oh, well, aren't you nifty? So you're clinging all over her for her. Or is it for you? Which one do you think it's for? Him. That's not love. That's not love at all. Now, it can be manifested in another kind of way, which we'll talk about. Second kind of love that men can feel, and women as well. Familial. Family. Love of family. You love your brothers and your sisters and your cousins and your nephews and your nieces and your moms and your dads and your children. How many love somebody like that? How much effort does that take? Now, I know you're thinking about one sibling when I said that, right? You're thinking about one. Oh, boy, if you only would have known. How many of you would have traded a brother or sister on a puppy if you could have got away with it? How about, it could be a puppy from the pound, too. It didn't matter. But it doesn't take a lot of effort to love your children. It doesn't. I mean, how much effort do you think it takes for Sissy to love her grandkids? Monumental effort, do you think? I know the other day we took out one of our grandkids and he had an accident and peed all over her car seat. And she said to me, well, that's two car seats got peed on. But Sissy still loves them. Right, Sissy? It doesn't take a lot of effort to love your family. Third, philos. Philos. And from that word we get philadelphia. And that's the what kind of love? Love of brothers, friends. A little harder to love people as your friends. A little harder. But not all that difficult. Then you move up to the highest level of love. Agape. Agape. Now, most of you guys raise your hand and say, yeah, I love my wife. How many of you all together here, how many of you love somebody? Who loves somebody? Can I need to ask you, I gave you the first three. I said eros, and I told you that's an erotic kind of love, physical kind of love. I told you familia, which is love of family, brothers, sisters, uncles, nieces, nephews. And I told you philos, brotherly love, love of friends. Now, I'm going to move up to the next one, and you tell me who you love this way. I'll take a little poll, a straw poll. I'll tell you what it is, and then you tell me who you love this way. Are you ready? Patient. 100% of the time. Kind. 100% of the time. Long-suffering. Doesn't keep records of wrongs. Believes all things. Hopes all things. Endures all things. How many of you right now can remember when somebody that you love says something to you that hurts your feelings? Who can remember that to this day? Well, see why you do that, because records have the wrongs. You shouldn't have records, you still know it. Don't you? See, if you really truly love somebody like that, I said, love keeps no what? Record. But yet, I asked you if you had a record, and what some people do. Guess what? You got a record. And how far deep in your mind is that record, do you think? It's probably pretty close to the top of the drawer. Love is patient. Love is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not rude. Love does not boast. Love does not insist on its own way. Insisting on your own way. Love keeps no records of wrongs. Believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love rejoices in the truth. How many of you love somebody that way? I thought so. But yet, husbands, that's how you are to love your wife. The way that Jesus Christ loved his church is the way that husbands are to what? Love their wives. Patient. Kind. Long-suffering. Not insisting on our own ways. No pouting. None of that kind of stuff. Do you love them that way? There's a song, and a song goes like this. I want to be more like you because my little boy wants to be more like me. Men of the church, let me run that by you again. I want to be more like you because my little boy wants to be just like me. You know how many times I get corrected in a day for saying yes, sir, or no, sir, or yes, ma'am, or no, ma'am? How many times a day I get corrected for that, don't I, Sue? If I hold the door for somebody, I get corrected for that. Oh, I can do it. I didn't say you couldn't do it. You're a lady. I hold the door. Back when we men were growing up, when we were little boys, how many little boys here back then knew when a lady needed to sit down, you got up? How many did that when you were growing up? Do you know what we did? And you know why you got up? It wasn't just because you were the politest kid in the world, because your dad said, get up. How many remember those days? That's why you did it. The very first time you did it, because your dad said, hey, get up, boy. Let her sit out. Isn't that true? Well, you know why little boys aren't getting up anymore? Because no dads are saying what? Get up. A lady needs to sit down. I want to be more like you, Jesus, because my little boy wants to be what? Just like me. And so we know that we are to be loving to our wives. The second thing that we need to be understanding about our wives is go to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7.
Husbands, likewise, deal with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, as in being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Let me sum that up for you. Respect. Respect. Honor them. We husbands and men are to honor the women in our lives. Honor them. Well, how do you do that? Well, let's talk about a little bit how we might be able to do that. Does your wife come second in your life, or is she first, other than God? Which is it? Is she first in your life, first? Does she know that she's the most important thing in your life? Does she know that? Don't tell me, well, she should. No, I'm asking you if she does. Does she know that she's the most important thing in your life? Do you put your wife up on a pedestal? I told somebody about a year or two ago who came to my house, and he a musician, and I was showing him some of my guitars because he wanted to see them, and I was showing him them, and I had shown him one that a person had given me from the 1930s or so. And he said, well, that must be your most prized possession. I said, oh, no, she's in the kitchen. No, she's in the kitchen. That's a hunk of wood. That she's my most prized possession. See, what do you honor? What do you honor? And then what you have to understand, that which you honor, whatever it is that you honor, how do you treat that which you honor? Let's just suppose that you honor an automobile. Let's suppose that an automobile is really, really important to you. Really important to you. And I know people, and I'm not even mentioning names, I'm not even saying anybody here, but I know men that honor their trucks. I'll pull into a service station, a truck pulls up next to me, and I go, whoa, the wheels are like blinding me. Have you ever seen one of these kind of guys? I mean, the chrome is like blinding me. Oh my gosh. You know, and he gets out, pumping his gas, takes his handkerchief off, and he goes like this on the mirror. Wiping that mirror clean. 20 million coats of high gloss, whatever's on it. Now, I'm not saying a guy shouldn't do that. What I'm saying is he should do more for his wife. Shine her up. Polish her up and take her out and show her off. That's honoring your wife. That's respecting her. When you walk into a restaurant, men, do you make sure she has a seat? I'm just asking. That's honoring. When she gets up, you get up. The truth of the matter is, brothers, the truth of the matter is, let me just be perfectly frank here. Husbands and men, sometimes we treat strangers' wives better than we treat our own. We would treat somebody else's wife with more respect than we treat our own. That's a shame, isn't it? But we are called to respect our wives. We are called to honor them. We are called to be considerate for them. 1 Peter 3:7. Let's look at that again.
Husbands, likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Honor. Honor. As a weaker vessel. Not to be beaten up because she's the weaker vessel. Honored. Lifted up. Turn to Proverbs chapter 31, verse 38.
Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praises her.
Do you ridicule your wife? Men, do you ridicule the women in your life? Or do you ridicule them in front of everybody? You tell jokes about them? Talk about them? About their shortcomings? Do you do that? I mean, do you put them down publicly in front of people? Do you do that? Let's not lifting them up. Let's putting them down. Do you praise their name? Do you lift them up so they feel important in your life? You all know, I'm sure, Sissy, that she's the most important thing in my life. I don't know where I'd be without her. And there are places that I am, and I'm not just saying this because it's me, but there are places I'm invited to go to, and I will not go. If my wife is not invited, I do not go. Do I, Sissy? Then I will not go. If you cannot honor her, then you cannot honor me. This is the way I feel. And so when you are talking about your wife as the weaker vessel, I want to make sure that we understand that when we husbands treat our wives as the weaker vessel, doesn't mean that she's weak. It doesn't mean that she's puny. It doesn't mean that she's not spiritually strong. What this means is this: I treat her as fine china and not a hunk of steel. Is there a difference? You treat the women in your life like they are fine china. You hold them as tight as you can so they don't fall and break. They're not steel. Women may have a strong character and a strong spiritual awareness, but they are still women. How many men understand that? Treat them like that. Honor them like that. Praise their name like that. There's no question that we have a problem in our families today with husbands and wives. The divorce rate, good old US of A, guess what it is? 50-some%. More people get divorced than stay married. More people divorced than stay married. Sissy and I had done a wedding yesterday, and the bride was crying, right? She was crying. And Sissy looked at me and she said, "Wonder what's wrong?" And I'm saying to myself, "I don't know, but I want to find out. I want to find out." So many times in my ministry, people have come to the church, husbands and wives, and the husband comes in the door, the wife follows later, and the wife looks like she's been crying. Her eyes are all red. And you kind of wonder, what kind of conversation might they have had on the way over here to church? What conversation might they have had? But being the inquisitive kind of guy that I am, I want to find out. So who do you think I go to? Him. Come here. I'll talk to you. I'll talk to him. We'll have a little talk, me and you. We are to honor. Let's turn to our Bibles, please. Back to 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. We'll stick around a little bit.
Husbands likewise, dwell with them with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers may not be hindered.
Join heirs. Understand that what you receive, she receives. She's just as important as you are. You are no more important than she is. And if we do these things, not only would we be great husbands, but we'd be great teachers. Boys coming up behind us, guess what? They're learning. They know how to treat a woman by how you treat a woman. I want to be more like you, Jesus, because why? My little boy wants to be just like me. So what if we don't do these things? Our prayers are what? Hindered. And so I move on to the next act, but let me just talk to the women here for just a second. Don't scold us when we treat you like ladies. Let us be men. When we say to you, even in a fellowship dinner, "No, you please go first," don't argue with us. What should you do? Just go eat. We're trying to be men. Does that make sense to you guys? We're trying to be men. When we say to you, "Here, you may have the seat," don't say, "No, go ahead, you sit down." You know what you should say? Help us out. You know what you say? Thank you. Help us. Help us to be more like men. How many men agree with that statement? Help us to be men. Enable us and equip us. We want to treat you with the respect that you deserve for which to be treated. We men should never be like bulls running through a china shop. Never. Never. Sensitive, delicate, with sincerity. So husbands are to love their wives. Husbands are to respect their wives. Husbands are to honor their wives. Here's the next one. Let's turn in our Bibles, please. Malachi chapter 2, verses 13 to 16.
And this is the second thing you do. You cover the altar of the Lord with tears, with weeping and crying, so he does not regard the offering anymore, nor receive it with goodwill from your hands. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you've dealt with treacherously. Yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one, having a remnant of the Spirit? And why one? He seeks godly offering. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, and let none deal treacherously with the wife of his youth. For the Lord God of Israel says that he hates divorce, for it covers one's garment with violence, says the Lord of hosts. Therefore, take heed to your spirit, that you do not deal treacherously.
Especially verse 14, yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been a witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dealt treacherously. Yet she is your companion, your wife, by covenant. By covenant. Know what that means? All that stuff I just said? God's watching. He's watching. You think he cares? He cares. I often tell men in my ministry with them, I say to them, you know, before we get into prayer for all of these things that we're going to pray for, how are you treating your wife? What's that got to do with it? Well, it's got a lot to do with it. It's got like everything to do with it. But why? Well, God says, honor your wife. Treat her with respect. Honor her. We got to make sure we're doing that first. Why ask for anything else when you can't already treat what you already got with love and admiration? How many agree with that statement? And so we are to love our wives. We need to be careful how we respect them and honor them. And we have to be careful how we see them. Turn in your Bibles, please, to 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 8.
But if anyone does not provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he is denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever.
Ouch. Ouch. Put that in English for you. You marry her, you take care of her. You provide. You provide. You make sure. If you got to work 10 jobs, you work 10 jobs. I don't care. Her needs come before what? Yours. Her needs come before yours. And it says that anyone who does not provide for his family, which is his wife and his children, anyone that does not provide for them, he's no better than an unbeliever, an infidel, or a heathen, depending on your translation. Now, are there times that we may become sick and can't work? Of course. Of course. Are there times that we may have to go in some kind of disability? Of course. We're not talking about that. We're talking about what? A guy who refuses, absolutely refuses, slothfulness, laziness, refuses to provide for his family. You know the Mr. Mom kind of thing that was going on a little while back? Really? No. We are to provide for our families. Does that mean we need to provide Cadillacs and Lincoln Navigators? Well, of course not. It doesn't mean that at all. But it means that we provide the basic stable for life. That's what we're supposed to do. Look at that passage of Scripture again. But if anyone does not provide for his own, provide for his own, and especially for those of his household, he has denied his faith, and he is worse than an unbeliever. So husbands, how are we to love our wives? Buy her flowers? Really? Really? Let me ask you guys a question. And this is husband. Next week we'll talk to the wives. Wives, make sure you come. Husbands, let me help you out here. An atheist can buy roses for his wife. You think that makes you special? Because it doesn't. It doesn't. You think providing a card and a box of candy wins you brownie points? No, it doesn't. An atheist can do that, can't they? You think taking her out on Valentine's Day down to Seeb's Pub? That'd be good though, right? It's a commercial. I gave you a commercial. It's being recorded too. Seeb's Pub, Babcock Boulevard. I mean, taking her out to dinner, is that really? That's your manifestation of love? Really? How many know an atheist can do that? Right? That's not what we're called to do. Really? No. You are to honor her. You are to honor her. And do not put her down in public. Do not ridicule her. Do not tell jokes about her. Do not call her names. That's what you're supposed to do. Be patient. Be kind. Don't insist on your own way all the time. When she says she's sorry, she's sorry. Let it go. Don't bring it up 25 days ahead. Let it go. Love keeps no what? No records. And support her. Support her. If somebody needs new shoes, who ought to get them? She should get them. Husbands, there is a whole generation of young boys coming up behind us. There are. And we have to teach them. We have to teach them. Timmy, you're 20, right?
Yeah.
Happy birthday, Timmy.
Thank you.
And someday, maybe, Timmy, I don't know what you aspire, but maybe someday you might be a husband and a father. I don't know. Is there somebody special in your life now?
Yeah.
Yeah! What's her name? First name?
Nessa.
Is she cute?
Yeah.
Oh. What's she look like? Huh?
She was
going to come. Oh, bring her. I won't embarrass her, okay? But you know what? Let me help you with something, okay? I want you to think about this. I'm going to say this today at this wedding I'll be doing here in just a little while. Men, pay attention. Pay attention. 59 years ago, a little girl was created in her mother's womb. Beautifully and wonderfully made she was. No one could even see her. Only God. And God brought all the angels in heaven and said, look at her. Look what I have created this time. She's beautiful. She has long brown hair. Beautiful brown eyes. Just look at the way she smiles. I think I'll have her mother call this one Rosemary. But her brother, it'd be so funny because he's going to call her Sissy. And 42 years ago, God brought that creation to the man to see what the man would call her. And he called her wife. How dare I ask God for one more thing if I can't take care of the most important thing he's already given to me? How many men understand that? If you can't take care of the special thing God gave you, you have no right to pray for one single thing if you can't take care of the most important thing God has given to you. How many men say amen? Okay. That's what we need to do. Ladies, in closing this message, help us to be men. Okay? Help us. If we hold the door for you, say thanks. If we offer you a seat, what should you say? Thanks. If we insist that you eat before we do, just say thanks. Help us to be the kind of godly men that we need to be. And women, if we're not being the kind of godly men that we need to be, then stand there and don't go in the door till a man opens it. We'll get it. We'll say, where's Robin? She's still waiting for somebody to open the door. Next week we talk about wives. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for the husbands in here today, Lord, and Help us to understand that we need to be husbands. We need to be godly husbands. We need to be godly fathers. We need to be godly men. We need to take our rightful position as leaders of the family. But Lord, we need to be the kind of leaders that people are willing to follow. Leaders that people are willing to follow. Lord, help the men in this room understand. As the author of that song, we want to be more like you, Jesus, for the little boys want to be just like us. Help us, Lord, to be the kind of role models for the boys in our lives so that they will know how to be godly men. In your wonderful name, we do pray these things, and all of God's people said,